So Joy, we have read, we're going to look from Luke chapter 1, 39 to 55, if you bring your Bible. Those of you that have a smartphone or iPad or whatever, we have the YouVersion that you can follow the sermon outlines. And you can follow the good old Bible too. You're right. So let me begin with joy, and joy is the recognition of God's extended grace. Can we say recognition?
Recognition.
Yeah, recognition of what? Of God's extended grace. So we're going to talk about the recognition. So joy is the recognition of God's extended grace. It's more than, you know, dancing and, see? It's recognizing what the Lord is doing in our heart. We want to look at that. So one day, when I was driving, my office assistant called me and said, somebody wanted to talk to you, Pastor. I said, okay, give my number and let him call me. So a couple of minutes later, he called me and said, I said, hello, and he said, I would like to talk to the pastor. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, he's talking to the pastor already. Right? Because the office assistant has given to the number and said, okay, I want to talk to the pastor. I said, yeah, we can talk. Yes, I'm ready to talk. You know, just let the pastor know I want to talk to him. And he hung up the phone. Okay? All right. That happens to me many times. Okay? All right. Hey, this guy, you know, in Fort Wayne, many Caucasian there, 98% church member Caucasian. So you have this weird sounding pastor on the phone and, that's not my pastor. Right? Okay? It happens to me a lot. It's okay. I can take it. So I say, okay, you know, they called again. I say, we'll meet at the office. So he came at the office, late 50s. I'm at the table waiting for him and he say, so you're the pastor? I say, yeah, I'm the pastor. Really, you're the pastor, you know. Okay. And he said, God's been telling me to call the new pastor. And I can't be quiet. It's getting stronger. So I have to call. I don't know why there is a voice telling me to call the new pastor, but I'm here. So he was at the table. Then we talked, and I was listening where he is in his life with God, with the gospel. I'm just listening. He's telling his stories. He lost a job, living paycheck to paycheck before. Now he lost a job, medical problem. It's just a lot of weight. The weight of the world was on his shoulder. So I said, do you know Jesus? You know? And he said, do you know the gospel? Are you living with Christ in your life today? And he wasn't. So I shared him the gospel. The whole gospel. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection. And this big guy, he's a big guy. Just like your pastor. He's just sobbing and crying there in the table, this big guy. And he said, I want to accept Christ. I want to follow him right there. You know, so you want to pray with me? You say, yeah, I don't know how to pray. Can you pray with me? And we prayed, and he was like totally changed. His perspective, he's happy, joyful. He said, I'm going to go and call my wife right now. I'm going to go back and call my wife. So he went, and then he came back with his wife to the office. So now I'm going the whole thing again with his wife, right? She must be in her late 50s too. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection. And she's also crying there on the table. She started crying. And I asked the same thing. would you want to accept, believe in Jesus and follow him? And she said, yes. On that small round table, both the husband and wife recognized God's extended grace. That is joy. Recognizing God's extended grace. Joy is that God has extended his grace to you and me. In Luke 1, 39 to 40, it says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, what happened? The babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizing God's extended grace. Even the baby in the mother's womb recognized God's extended grace and leaped inside the womb of a mother. I mean, fantastic. That's like, wow. That's joy, my friends. That is joy. Because pregnancy is hard, you know? Not that I've been pregnant. But my wife has been. 3 pregnancies. Very hard to be joyful when you are throwing out backache, right? It's just a lot of physical toll on a woman. But sometimes when the baby kick, I say, look at that. And you feel the bump and it just changed everything, isn't it? It's like, wow, this is so cool. Joy is even more than that. God's joy is even more than that. And how is this joy extended? Let's go back in Matthew, because we're looking Matthew 1 and Luke 1. In Matthew is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. There are 5 women that are mentioned in the genealogy. Do you know that? There are 5 women that are recorded. That is very unusual because it's a patriarchal society. Men, all men, but there are 5 women there. Why are the 5 women there? Because God's grace is extended. And I want to talk about that. First one is Tamar. Right? So Tamar married the first son of Judah, the son of Jacob. Judah, the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus Christ. And her husband died. She didn't have a child. And Judah promised him another husband as a custom. But she was treated unjustly in Judah's house. So she didn't have a child and she remained a widow for a long time. See? How did God extend his grace to her? We're going to talk about that. Because later on, she tricked her father-in-law to have a child. And Judah has to come and ask for forgiveness to Tamar and say, your righteousness is stronger than mine. Because God gave her a son and justified the injustice that Judah has done to Tamar. Next one, let's go to Rahab. Rahab is the prostitute, the harlot in Jericho. The spy came. She hid the spies. And they made a vow to her that if you and your family wants to be safe, you have to hang this scarlet rope that you let us down on the day when we come to take Jericho. Who was she? She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. How was God's grace extended to her? How did she recognize God's grace extended to her? You know, even the scarlet reminded me of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the blood of Jesus Christ can save even a sinner like Rahab. God's grace extended to somebody who tricked his father-in-law, to a harlot, to a prostitute, and to Ruth. Ruth also, her husband died. Naomi is a widow. Ruth, a foreigner, followed The Moabite followed Ruth back to Boaz's house. And she uncovered the feet of Boaz. Very close to seducing. So that Boaz can redeem her from this hopeless situation. Now let's go back to Bathsheba, another grandmother of Jesus Christ. There was also a scandalous episode there. David had to kill her husband and marry her. It was an adultery. Now come back to Mary, because five women, a young girl, rumors going around that this girl's pregnant without getting married. She's engaged. How is she that she's pregnant? She could be thrown to death. She could be stoned to death. Adultery is a sin. When you look at these five women in the genealogy of Jesus, it's a scandalous, very scandalous record. Could be a reality show, you know? Right? Why does the Bible record these five scandalous women in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because grace is extended to a person that may have a scandal, that may be an adulterer, that may be a prostitute, that may have seduced other men. And God is saying, my joy is bigger than your shame. And these five women recognize grace that is extended. That grace is extended to you and me today. You may be in a scandalous place. You may have made mistakes. You may have had shameful past. Whatever it be, God's joy is greater than all our mistakes. And I hope we recognize that this morning in the house of the Lord. Grace in a scandalous place. So joy is the awareness of God's extended grace to people in an unexpected place. That is joy. You wouldn't expect joy. In those places that we have talked about. That brings me to the second point, is that joy is the realization of God's extended grace. So first is recognition, right? Now, the second one is realization. Can we say realization? Yeah. How is the grace that is recognized, internalized, realized, and experienced in our life? We want to talk about that. Because joy is experiencing the favor of God, God's extended grace, and He is moving people from disgrace to an amazing grace. Okay? God's grace moves us from disgrace to an amazing grace. Can you say, how's that possible, Pastor? Oh, thank you for asking. I thought you'll never ask. I want to say that God's joy is greater than our shame. God's joy is greater than our shame. God's joy is greater than our shame. How is this possible? Bathsheba. See, the child that David and Bathsheba conceived during that time, that child did not survive. The child died. And Solomon is the second son. Solomon is the second son. And the word of God says in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, right? That God loved Solomon. God loved Solomon. And how did God redeem David's shame? It was Solomon that built the temple from disgrace to an amazing grace. That's possible. That's what he did. And you know, one of the son, see, Zerah and Perez, is the twins that Tamar gave birth to from Judah's seed. And who is Perez? Perez is the grandfather of Boaz.
the great-grandfather of Jesse, the father of David, from disgrace to an amazing grace. The story of Mary is just absolutely a story of an amazing grace, isn't it? A virgin giving birth to the Holy Son. What more could we look for to an amazing grace from Joseph trying to hide and run away? You know, I want to save her life. I don't want bad things to happen to her, so I'm just going to go away quietly, to this glorious, amazing grace that happened on this earth. See, from disgrace to an amazing grace. God's joy takes us from shame to salvation. If you're carrying shame this morning in your heart, I want you to know that God's joy is greater than your shame. And you will find out that when you let your shame know, it will not be the end of the world. God will take that shame and turn it into a salvation for you, your family, and your household. Because the realization of God's extended grace is freeing us from our shame, from disgrace to an amazing grace. How many of you are carrying shame this morning? How many of you need to be delivered from shame and from hurt? God is our deliverer. He is our Savior. His love is greater than our mistakes. His love is greater than our mistakes. Do you feel like you're drowning this morning? You feel like you're drowning with problems in your life? You feel like the world's trying to swallow you? Do you feel like, you know, it's just too much and you feel like giving up? You feel like, you know, you're trying to raise your head above the water, you know, trying to catch some air in your life and just trying to make it a day, one day, each day, each moment, each second. Do you feel like that crushing weight coming down on you? Do you feel like the storm is too big? You know, the waves coming over you? I want you to know this morning, if the water's too big, if the wave's too big, if you feel like you're drowning and sinking, I want you to know our Savior walked on the water. Our Savior is above the water. He walks on the water that we feel like we're drowning. He can lift us up from where we are. That's our Savior. That's our Deliverer. And I want to introduce you, that Savior, this morning to you. The Savior that walks on the water. He is above whatever water we're going through in our lives. Joy is recognizing God's extended grace, moving people from disgrace to amazing grace. That brings me to the third point. Joy is rejoicing in God's extended grace. It's rejoicing. Can we say rejoicing?
Rejoicing?
Hallelujah. Rejoicing in God's extended grace. Joy is living in God's extended grace, rejoicing for the great things He has done. Great things that He has done. So this husband and wife that I talked about said, I will go and call my wife. And they came back at the office. They were crying. And both of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the time came and I said, do you want to be baptized? And he said, yeah, I want to be baptized. And we want to be baptized. So Sunday came, and both of them came, and we're going to get this baptism. I went into the baptism, you know, the water is coming up to my here, you know, since I'm very tall, right? And the guy's coming in, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I mean, he's like there, see? Okay, so
I say, do you want to go to heaven? Right? If you, today would be a good day if you don't get out all the water. Right there and then. Huh? But he was already crying like a baby, standing in the water. Yeah. And we baptized the husband and wife, and they're just crying so joyful. See, they realized God extended grace, and they recognized that Jesus is the Savior and Lord. And on this day, in that water, the water that Jesus walked, they were crying with joy. That is rejoicing in God's extended grace. And the people at the church clapped their hand and celebrated them giving their life to Christ. God's joy wipes away everything that is wrong. You know, God's joy is sufficient for us. Because when Mary went to Elizabeth, she was running in haste. She couldn't keep it to herself. She's going. And then Elizabeth opened the door. The baby leaped in her womb, you know. And he said, you're blessed among all women. Elizabeth is already singing in praise. It's just coming out of her, flowing with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then Mary wrote a song. You know, and we don't know the exact age of Mary when she had the baby. Some say it might have been anywhere between 12-year-old to 16 or 18. Okay? The consensus is that maybe she's 14 to 16-year-old when she had the baby. So she was a young gal. It's just a teenager, because at that time, people marry at that age. Okay? Don't be too judgmental. You know, it's okay. So what happens is, so Mary wrote a song. Mary's song, right? It's fantastic for a 16-year-old to come up with this song in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55. It's amazing. It's amazing, you know, for a 16-year-old to come up with this name and say, with this song, my soul magnifies the Lord. How many of you are 16 this morning? And she's singing, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And when I start reading this, I was thinking about, how many 16-year-old can write this song? Okay? I'm trying to remember my time or some song. And there was probably a 16-year-old pop star long time ago. Number one hit, more than 10 million copies sold. Probably her name, like Britney Spears or something, you know. And then, give me a sign, hit me, baby, one more time, right? That's a deep song, right? How about, hit me, baby, one more time, and my soul magnifies the Lord. 16-year-old, come on, right? Give me a sign, hit me, baby, one more time, right? And this 16-year-old is saying, my soul magnifies the Lord, for who is mighty and has great done great things in me. The salvation of God's plan was resting on the shoulder of a 16-year-old gal. Isn't that amazing? And she rejoices in the holy God and gave praise to him. That is joy extended to a young girl. And that joy is extended to you and me today. It's regardless of age, regardless of race, regardless of your class, where do you live, how much money you make, what job you have, it doesn't matter. God's extending his grace to all of us where we are. Where we are. So let us magnify God and give praise to his holy name for what he has done for us. Mary even went back to say like this, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I mean, this is coming out of the mouth of a young teenager. She remembered Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the promise that God made to David that his kingdom would last forever. And this young teenager is remembering all these things and writing this song. This is the number one hit of all times, I'm telling you. She may not make a million. It may not be in a billboard. It may not be a remix. But this will not pass. Even if heaven and earth will pass, this will not pass. This will abide forever. And God's joy, my friends, God's joy, hear me, is eternal. It's eternal. Whatever you feel, the joy of the Lord this morning, yesterday, in the past, that is just a parenthesis of what we're going to experience eternally. It's just a glimpse, a little bit of what joy is going to be like in heaven. You're going to jump for joy like that, see? In heaven. Right? So rejoice. Rejoice this morning that God is in this place. And rejoice because the Lord loves First Baptist, Santa Clara Baptist Church. We know God loves us. How do we know? How do we know God loves us? The rain stopped at 6 p.m. and it rained at 9:20. That's how I know God loves us. The Lord loves our Jerry, I'm telling you. The Lord loves him and everyone. And today we pray for the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we pray the rain stop at 4:30, okay? Right? And then we have a great day tomorrow so that people can rejoice in experiencing the joy of the Lord. So go in peace and make a joyful noise for the Lord, because the worship band's coming up to make a joyful noise this morning so we can worship together. And let's be on our feet. Can we be on our feet and worship the Lord and, you know, pass on the joy of the Lord to someone. Say, peace be to you. Let the joy of the Lord. And shake hands with someone as we get ready to pray. Yes. And lead us in worship.